Good evening, everybody. Is this thing working? You can hear me? Okay, huh? I'm getting so forgetful in my old age, I'm going to have to read from my notes a lot. I pray you'll forgive me. I may have to sit down too, but I knew Dave was going to speak about Thanksgiving today. Any preacher worth his salt would do that, you know. But I'm convinced that we can't learn enough about being thankful to our God, so I'm going to leap forward in continuing with some thoughts about this. I believe these things that I'm going to say, not that, you know, nothing is new under the sun. We have all heard that before. So nothing I'm going to say is a revelation, but I think it's important, and I think it'll help us to be more grateful in our lives. And that's not only with God, but to others around us, because we should lift one another up and esteem one another when we have the opportunity. I can't believe I did this, but I went to Wikipedia to get some information about Thanksgiving Day. Some of you young folks may not know all the roots of Thanksgiving. I don't know, you know. But Thanksgiving's a holiday that's celebrated in the United States on the fourth Thursday of November. It became an official federal holiday in 1863. During the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heaven. Sounds like God to me, doesn't it? To be celebrated on the last Thursday in November. There are new reports that have come out, and I don't know if this is substantiated or not, but there was an original proclamation of Thanksgiving signed by George Washington, our first president. And this was recently found, and I have that information somewhere, but it's not important right now. A fellow named William Bradford, in his account called Of Plymouth Plantation, wrote about this first Thanksgiving. It was celebrated by the Pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World in 1621. This feast lasted for 3 days. It was attended by 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims. The New England colonists were accustomed to regularly celebrating Thanksgivings as days of prayer, thanking God for their blessings, such as military victories or the end of a drought. And this was a first crop, a first successful crop. Another guy, Edward Winslow, also wrote, I'm quoting him, "Many of the Indians coming amongst us, and amongst the rest their greatest king, Massasoit, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. This was the chief of the Indian tribes. And evidently, we got along with one another back then. I don't know what happened along the way, because there was a lot of bloodshed and all between the settlers and the Indians later on. But at this time, God's hand was there and there was peace. It has been documented that the first Thanksgiving services in territory that currently belongs to the United States was actually conducted by the Spaniards in the 16th century. And its purpose was to thank God. So I just wanted to say a little bit about that, because we live in a time when God has been excluded from everything. And God is still the one that Thanksgiving is about. And I hope we'll remember that. Thanksgiving is more than an American holiday. It's a godly holiday. No U.S. holiday is as distinctive as Thanksgiving. But in our busy, deadline-fixated age, expressing gratitude to our Heavenly Father is too easily squeezed out of our lives. But it is important, and we need to realize that. First, I think human beings are hardwired to thank something, someone that they know is bigger than themselves. Even atheists seem to have unsettling moments when they feel an irresistible urge to thank someone up there. One of the problems with atheism occurs when pain is avoided or pleasure is gained, and you have no one to give thanks to. It kind of leaves you with an itch that you can't scratch, you know? But there is more than a primeval urge to justify thanking God. On almost every page of the Bible, we see this theme. The Old Testament reverberates with the sound of people praising God. Israel's history is full of thanksgiving to God for showing them mercy and delivering them from disaster time and time again. The New Testament is no less full of thanksgiving. Jesus himself offers up thanks to God the Father, most importantly at the Last Supper. This is where he instituted what we've become accustomed to calling the Lord's Supper. Paul not only regularly gives thanks, but he actually commands it of others. So there are times when to be thankful is a commandment of God. And if we're not thankful, we're disobeying God. So, all of that having been said, I'll be honest with you, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I've changed because as a little boy, Christmas and my birthday were big deals because I got gifts. But I'm not sure a birthday is a holiday. But as an adult, being able to give a gift has become so much more important to me than getting a gift. I can recall times when I didn't have two nickels to bounce together and wanted to get something for someone I cared about and feeling horrible because I couldn't. And I think when God says it's more blessed to give than receive, I think he's right. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Anyway, as an adult, Thanksgiving has some of the most wonderful food I've ever experienced. However, I really eat kind of crazy nowadays, so that isn't as important to me. I don't know when the last time I had turkey was, which that should be blasphemy in and of itself. But there's a lot of other things that are important about this besides eating, and I'd like to talk about a few of those. It's my favorite because it's based on God. It recognizes the importance of gratitude towards God together as a family. I think that's important. If we study our history, and it's quite evident this holiday at least began centered on God. Nowadays, I'm not so sure. It seems like Black Friday now appears on Thursday evening. After we've filled our belly, we can go out and fill our wants at a bargain price, it seems. And it takes away from the holiday itself. If God is removed from Thanksgiving, as he has been removed from much of our culture in our progressive world, who does the atheist thank? I thought about that and wondered about that, and I went to the webs, to the internet, because that has all the answers in the world, you know. And I sought information to answer that question. There was one author named Mark Mercer, and he had this to say. Quote, "The religious meaning of Thanksgiving is not exclusive to just a few religions. All sorts of religious people can feel the attraction of Thanksgiving and appreciate its significance. All that's necessary for a person to participate is the belief that a deity is responsible for his or her existence and is looking out for that person. And this is done not out of duty, but without reason. Not only can Christians, Muslims, and Jews give thanks, so too can Stoics and other pantheists, as well as animists and New Agers. I had to look up animist. I didn't know what that was. That's people worshiping animals as gods? Okay. Anyway, I understand his reasoning. At least those who do not embrace the God I love and worship have some deity out there that they are thanking. So I understand that. He continues in this. He says, atheists cannot, though, join in the giving of thanks. Atheists don't think God exists, not in any conception. And so they don't think there is anyone around to whom to give thanks to. Then he rhetorically asks, can atheists just be thankful for all the people in their lives who matter to them, or for their well-being and happiness, or just for being alive? He says they can if thankful for simply refers to an emotion of contentment or happiness. Best, though, just to say that they can be happy for being alive and for enjoying their lives. They do not also feel grateful for these things, for the emotion of gratitude requires believing that someone exists to be thanked. When I read that, I thought, how empty a feeling that is. Another site, a fellow named Jay Louder made these comments. He says, it's amazing to me in the politically correct society in which we live that a 150-year-old tradition rooted and grounded in religion has slipped by without much notice or debate in this secular age and culture. Perhaps it's because we never properly were educated about the God behind the holiday. Continuing, he says, while we robotically recite the brainwashed mandate of today's culture to accommodate everyone, we are actually losing our own identity in order to make sure everyone swallows the same plain vanilla. It's plausible that we are getting closer every day to surrendering the keys of our heritage to those who neither respect nor tolerate them. I think this man is onto something there. We live in a precarious age right now. Another fellow, Carlos Espinoza, suggested, do they thank nature for their life, health, happiness, and living in a country founded on the belief that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights? Try to say that fast. Or do they thank the randomness of cells and chromosomes that gave them the ability to think in the first place, or even think for that matter? He says, I came across an article on the subject recently on an atheist website where the writer claimed that Thanksgiving was not all about thanking God. Instead, he said it was a secular tradition meant for thanking people, farmers, soldiers, science, modern medicine, etc. Mr. Espinoza continues, I agree that we should thank those we love and people who do things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. But he says, a fellow named C.S. Lewis, a former atheist in his younger years and an Oxford scholar who became among the greatest Christian author of the 20th century would have pointed out, quote, "This begins with a premise. The premise is an innate moral responsibility to show appreciation for the good others do for us, as if there is a standard for goodness, which of course Christians know there is, since it's written upon our hearts by God. But this notion flies in the face of an atheist, the naturalist, or the materialist, all three of which are interchangeable worldviews in his estimation. In other words, if we are just accidents of nature, material beings who developed over millions of years from a primordial soup and will live purposeless lives only to die and rot in the ground, then where does good and evil, right and wrong, or even an inclination towards showing appreciation toward others fit in?" It's a really good question. Carlos states, he continues, "Ultimately then, as even the father of modern atheism, Friedrich Nietzsche, who was the first to proclaim God is dead, concluded, under an atheist worldview, any standard of morality would be arbitrary, since Dos, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, Dostoevsky, say it again? Thank you. I can tell this guy's smart, man. Once wrote, "If God doesn't exist, everything is permissible." Think about that for a while. As I stand before you, as a Christian, I abhor a worldview without God. Still, from my own personal experience, I am convinced there are benefits here and now in this physical life for recognizing God and for expressing gratitude towards Him. There was a study where a group of participants was asked to write down 5 things that generated gratefulness once a week for 10 weeks. The other control group were asked to list 5 hassles or major bummers that occurred that past week for 10 weeks. The results illustrated that those who expressed gratitude tended to feel more satisfied and optimistic with their lives. Their health received a boost as well. They had fewer physical symptoms such as headaches, acne, coughing, or nausea. They spent more time exercising. I think I need to be more grateful. Based upon this and similar studies about gratitude, investigations show that there is a correlation between mental and physical health and being grateful or thankful. The great Roman orator Cicero wrote, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others." Indeed, all of us can think of times in our lives when we expressed heartfelt thanks to others for gifts of time and efforts on their parts. Being grateful feels good. Gratitude is an almost universal concept among world cultures. Nearly all of the world's spiritual traditions emphasize the importance of giving thanks to benefactors, both supernatural and otherwise. So what is gratitude? Well, a really smart guy named Robert Emmons, he's a leader in the field of gratitude research, defines gratitude as a feeling that occurs when a person attributes a benefit they have received to another. Feeling grateful has a number of benefits, as mentioned earlier. Feelings of gratitude are associated with less frequent negative emotions and more frequent positive emotions, such as feeling energized or alert or enthusiastic about things. Beyond our emotions, though, there is evidence that gratitude is associated with pleasant physical sensations. A couple of researchers, I'm going to butcher these guys' names too, Algoe and Height, yeah, that's good enough. They found that people experience pleasant muscle relaxation when recalling situations in which they felt grateful. It is apparent that the mere act of giving thanks can have a remarkable impact on a person's well-being. Taking time to appreciate your mother for all the care she provided growing up, reconnecting with an old friend to express your gratitude because they always stuck by you, or seeking out and thanking a favorite teacher who helped you grow. These specific acts of gratitude can have a variety of positive consequences to us all. But what about people who are more grateful by nature than others? Given the centrality of thankfulness in religious traditions, grateful people tend to be more spiritual than their less grateful counterparts. People who are generally grateful report being more agreeable and less narcissistic compared with less grateful people. People who are more grateful also report being happier. Gratitude is a quality woven through Scripture, both directly and indirectly. Directly, for example, in Psalm 147:7, we find these words, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving." Indirectly, passages such as 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, where David prays to the Lord and says, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" It seems self-evident that such gratitude springs from, as well as leads to, a happy life. Isn't that what we all hunger for? Happiness? The connection between thankfulness and happiness is expressed as unalienable right in our Declaration of Independence. At least the pursuit of happiness, that is. And that pursuit has led many to seek happiness in possessions and in pleasures and in power, to mention just a few. However, it's unlikely that that treasure chest of true happiness is going to be found at the end of that chase. An example is a study from, I'll butcher this too, the Interdisciplinary Forum on Subjective Well-Being. They found that those with materialistic goals harbor a smoldering view of envy, depression, low self-esteem, indifference to the welfare of others, greed, and a number of other distasteful qualities. Happiness was missing from their lives. In contrast to the kind of pursuit of happiness that often ends in disillusionment, the Apostle Paul described a paradox in the churches of Macedonia. "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." This is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. Ironically, the gratefulness of the Macedonians, as evidenced in their generosity, was born in the midst of trials and poverty. Yet their lives were abundantly joyful. How does this work? This doesn't compute in today's world. What the Macedonians came to understand is that Christ, God wrapped himself in human flesh. He lived among men, and he sacrificed his life on a terrible cross while they were yet sinners, as found in Romans 5:8. In short, a deep, abiding happiness, even in the middle of life's hardships, is a result of being grateful for what the suffering Savior did on our behalf. That kind of happiness overflows into a love for others and a desire to grow even deeper in our love for Christ. And when we forget that, that's when we lack thankfulness and lack being happy. I am convinced of that. On the flip side of that, materialism is linked to an unwillingness to deal with thoughts, feelings, and circumstances that could very well present opportunities for our own character development. A materialistic person will be inclined to use others rather than serve others. While excitement and a temporary sense of well-being may be gained through material accomplishment, long-term joy seems always out of reach. It's like that ring that you're trying to grab on the merry-go-round, and you never can get it. Unbelievers are typically convinced that men are born good and are merely influenced negatively by outward circumstances. If that were true, it would also make sense that happiness and joy could be gained through positive circumstances. Therefore, a Savior is not necessary in their minds, but Scripture is very clear that all humans are born sinful. I personally trust Scripture. So, are we happy? Are we thankful? Are we grateful? They all connect. They all intertwine in our lives. What God promises us in Christ is far above anything that can be measured in earthly terms or earthly wealth. In fact, believers are not promised earthly wealth, nor are we promised the gift of health. Many of us have come to realize that in our lives. But I guarantee you, God can get you through that stuff too, if you just focus on Him. It reminds me of Peter. He could walk on water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of him, he sunk like a rock. And we will too. As you sit down for Thanksgiving this coming week, I pray that your heart will be filled with gratitude as you consider Christ, who died for sinners like you and me. He died to give us an eternal home in His presence. Therein lies the happiness that our hearts yearn for. I'm convinced of that. If there's anyone here who has a need, who has a prayer request, has never given themselves to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the waters of baptism, I would beg you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Sing to me, O heaven, sing that song.